A first grade boy was told by his mother to return home directly after school was dismissed. But he arrived home from school late almost every day. He was sometimes as much as 20 minutes late. His mother asked him, "You get out of school the same time every day. Why can't you get home at the same time?" He said, "It depends on the cars." "What do cars have to do with it?" The youngster explained, "The patrol boy who takes us across the street makes us wait until some cars come along so he can stop them." Ah, the feeling of power. Giving orders to cars so they will stop at a school crossing. Well, of course, these days, with the breakdown of our society, there probably aren't any patrol boys or girls left, having all been replaced by stoplights. Less dangerous these days. And with the promised return of red light cameras, crossings will probably get even safer. Why? Many of us have seen cars tear through red lights. These were not pink lights that had just changed from yellow. These were solid red lights, red for quite some time. Other cars were stopped in their lanes waiting for the light to change. But these speedsters weave around the stopped cars and barrel on through the intersection as if they owned the world. By the grace of God, they don't hit anyone in their way. But in many cases, they do. It's a sudden realization that their luck has run out. Someone or something with higher authority, more power, had intervened, stopped them in their tracks, assuming they even come out of the encounter with their lives intact. With the impending reinstallation of red light cameras, when fines for running red lights start arriving and the eventual arrests for not paying them commence, such irresponsible criminal drivers will finally discover that the state and city governments have more power than they do. Now, when police come to arrest these lowlifes for endangering their own and the public's safety, a few bad apples in the police force may take perverse pleasure in hauling these scofflaws to headquarters. Some police like their powers of enforcement just a little too much. But who can blame them, really? For people without the Lord, without Holy Spirit living within them, for the most part, can hardly help themselves. The intoxication of power is simply itself overpowering. And these days, while most power is wielded by a global elite, on the local level, people are almost always challenging each other to determine a pecking order. Who is content with being the lowest on the totem pole? Put in other words, who is satisfied to be the servant of all? This is what Lord Jesus told us that we must be, but it seems that that is a hard one to swallow. In these days of social media, influence is a measure of power. For the more followers, the more views, the more money, the more influence, the more fame, the more importance. And so we end up with more and more pronouncements, declarations, criticisms, prognostications, until we're flooded with absolute idiocy and lunacy. Seems everyone has to put in their 2 cents, $2 in, whether what they say is even worth the time it takes to say it. And I'll guarantee you, most comments and shares are not worth the space they take up in social media feeds. But far worse than those ultimately trivial expressions of vapid hot air vanity, our world today has entered the final chapters of the end times. World leaders have always jockeyed for power and influence. But after the end of World War II, when the United States faced off in a Cold War with the former Soviet Union, a world order was established that allowed for both systems to mostly peacefully compete. It underpinned the ascendancy of the Western powers who set the rules. With the collapse of the USSR, the United States was the only superpower still standing. Undisputed world policemen we became, for a time. That time has ended, on purpose and by design. For a powerful America stands in the way of the future utopian earth envisioned by most of today's World Economic Forum global elites. Our military has been hollowed out, our social institutions paganized, our schools sexualized, last but not least, our churches apostatized, infiltrated and poisoned with lies and doctrines of demons. We who have held to the unadulterated Word of God, the whole Holy Bible, are now under attack. Fall in line with the program, or be bulldozed, flattened, to serve the new, old masters of the world. Facing such a crisis, what have the people who still know right from wrong, the conservatives and the Christians, done? We've come together in commonality and unity to jointly confront the evils that threaten to undo America as a nation under God. Right, wrong. We're finding out that while a lot of people say correct things from time to time, at other times, they're sabotaging the working of the kingdom of heaven. They attack those who should be allies, cutting them down and bringing disgrace to those who are trying to bring truth in it and advance God's cosmic salvation agenda. They besmirch the cause of Christ, mock him, and turn his true followers into haters, alleged, supposed enemies of all that is progress. Those still part of the Church of Christ are all too often guilty of shooting friendly fire into God's camp of Christian soldiers. Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene often makes admirable pronouncements, but sometimes she, joined with some others who usually with good intentions, nevertheless are not hearing clearly from Holy Spirit and end up doing and saying things that work at cross purposes to real progress in turning our nation around back to God. Her calling for the ouster of Speaker Mike Johnson because he helped pass a terrible budget bill is not helpful at all. It just plays into evil's hands. The issues there on Capitol Hill are far more complex than the sound bites were fed by the various media outlets. What they all need, all of them, is much prayer. Are we praying? Many become obsessed with a single issue and use it as a litmus test that gauges all other unrelated actions by that position. The Gateway Pundit has become a cheerleader on terminating all assistance to Ukraine, claiming that it is a cesspool of corruption and our financial and military assistance is simply propping up a cadre of ungrateful narcissists. The Gateway Pundit is right on many, many things, revealing the truth on much malfeasance going on in both local, national, and international governments, including Ukraine. But it, like seemingly nearly all conservative and even Christian-based outlets, seem blinded by one or more issues or ideologies. When our brothers and sisters in Christ in Ukraine are pleading for our help as they face torture and persecution by the Russian Orthodox Church allied military in the Russian-occupied areas, increasing numbers of Republican conservatives are trying to cut off all further aid to Ukraine. So what are the faithful Christians there? Chopped liver? What's happened to Tucker Carlson? I don't personally know if he's ever given his allegiance to Christ Jesus, but it sure doesn't seem like it. If he's a true representative of the conservative movement, then conservatism seems doomed. Where's Holy Spirit in Tucker's commentary? Not there. If Holy Spirit is not there, whatever truth that might get through is tainted, poisoned by the clever, tantalizing, deceiving lies of Antichrist spirits. Just as the Apostle John warns us, as we read this morning, all to sow discord and disunity into the body of Christ. The old adage couldn't be more true. United we stand, divided we fall. Christians who should know better are beating up on other Christians for not towing a red line in the sand on one particular issue or other. Since they didn't all vote the right way, now they're all mortal enemies. They didn't use the right words. Shame. The devil laughs. Talk about shooting ourselves in both feet. Yesterday, Iran directly attacked Israel, as Ezekiel 38 prophesies. Will the pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist Democrats change their tune? Doubtful. I wonder what Cori Bush, so-called representative of Missouri's 1st Congressional District, my district, thinks of the emails I send her that urge her to do things diametrically opposed to her pronouncements. And yes, I do pray for her and for her salvation. She says she's been a church pastor in the past. I wonder what that was like. Probably a lot like the so-called pastor of Palestinian Christians in Judea, Samaria, the West Bank, who claims that Israel viciously persecutes them and they need to be liberated from Israeli control. What a crock! Someday, probably sooner than we all think, he'll and all like him will have to answer to God. As Peter and John gave all glory to God in Holy Spirit for the healing of the beggar, they had obeyed Lord Jesus and waited until they were clothed with the mighty power of heaven, Holy Spirit. And then they spoke. Not before. Until we feel his anointing, we best hold our peace, but always stand for righteousness. For, as John taught us, dear children, remain in him, so that when he is revealed, we may have joyful confidence and not be ashamed when we stand before him at his appearing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us, Holy Spirit, so much we need your help to properly discern the truth and your will. Please help us. Don't let us be deceived in any way or led astray by what some people who usually say truthful things happen to be getting it wrong. Let us not be led astray. Help us always to stand for your truth, your righteousness, for the whole Bible, your whole teachings in Christ, in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.